A new exhibit will anchor the Haynes Sheldon Museum's upstairs space for at least the next 2 years. It focuses on the period between about 1850 and 1900. In that time, Russia sold its Alaskan territory to the United States, and the land ruled by the prosperous Chilkat and Chilkoot Tlingits gradually saw more non-native settlers. The exhibit is called Everything from Afar Drifts Ashore,
which is the Tlingit name for Yendestucky.
Yendestucky was a Tlingit village located near the current Haines Airport. It was the site of some of the 19th century's most influential contact between natives and white visitors. Haines author Dan Henry recounts this time in his recently published book, Across the Shaman's River. The museum exhibit is partially based on the book. Henry says, for much of the 1800s, the Tlingits in this area staved off white settlement.
The northern Tlingits were very effective at defending the area, and so they pretty much would escort most people out. And so there was never a military attack, there was never an opportunity for a missionary to gain a foothold.
And that's where the museum exhibit begins. It starts with a map of the Jilkat Ani, the territory of the Chilkat and Chilkoot people. Here's museum director Helen Alton.
So we start in 1850, when the Russians and Europeans and Americans have all been trading in this area, but none of them have been in Jilkat Ani to stay.
But Henry says that changed after the arrival of naturalist John Muir. Russia sold its Alaska territory to the U.S. in 1867. 12 years later, Muir traveled to the Chilkat Valley to study glaciers. He accompanied a Christian missionary named S. Hall Young. When they arrived, they met with Tlingits in Yendestucky.
So he gave a short speech that was essentially a Unitarian speech. All he talked about was brotherhood. He said, we're brothers. And so he talked about it from a horizontal status rather than all the other white men they had met before who were like vertical top down. Well, there's the top guy and, you know, Muir said, you and I are the same. And that's exactly what the Tlingits wanted to hear. And they said, okay, we're with you.
Zach James is Tlingit and grew up in the Chilkat Valley. His great-grandmother lived in Yendestucky.
There's very few writings in that time period about what the Tlingit people actually thought. Everything is secondhand.
James is a student at the Institute of American Indian Arts in Santa Fe. He helped with research for this exhibit. He says the Tlingits were feeling pressure to make a compromise with the Americans.
Some of the writings of the time, some of the leaders in the Tlingit community noted how many American ships were coming up to Alaska. And I think they got the impression that the Americans were a hugely powerful force, that hostility wasn't going to benefit them in the long run.
Tlingit leaders selected land known as Deshu for a Christian mission and school. Deshu later became Haines.
You know, 1879, they made the deal. They sealed the deal on Deshu. Then, because of that, the word went out that it was opened up.
Entrepreneurs, missionaries, teachers, miners, and the military started to arrive. The exhibit tells the stories of some of the first non-natives to make a home in Haines. James says the Tlingits valued education and knowledge, but many of the schools during this time period repressed the native culture. His grandparents went to boarding schools where they weren't allowed to speak their language.
The goal, I suppose, was to try and sever that cycle of knowledge being passed down from grandparent to grandchild and parent to child.
The last section of the exhibit asks, who is Haines now? It displays modern Tlingit artwork from Wayne Price and Lonnie Hotch, but it also points out that in this former Tlingit stronghold, Haines' population is now just 11% Alaska Native. The village of Klukwan, which used to be home to 2,000 people, now has a population of about 100. Alton says the loss of land came up during meetings with Native elders leading up to this exhibit.
It's something that we want people to figure out on their own. I mean, we're not going to interpret it for people. We're just trying to give them what these points in time look like.
As for John Muir, the white naturalist who connected with Tlingit leaders,
Muir went on a speaking tour down south and said, the last hostile heathens are now mollified. The hills are now open for gold prospectors. And so this book ends by saying that John Muir, the founder of American environmentalism, started the Klondike Gold Rush, which some people in the Yukon have called the largest environmental disaster in the Yukon.
This checkered history of the non-native impact on Jilkat Ani will be on display at the Haynes Sheldon Museum for at least 2 years. The opening Friday will include a 7 p.m. talk from Henry. He will also be in Skagway to talk about Across the Shamans River Sunday at 4 p.m. In Haynes, I'm Emily Files.